And thank you. I'm live now on YouTube and subscribing stations. I generally try to do this program Monday through Friday, 12 noon. Being the internet, of course, I don't have to do it every day. So I try to do it. I try to be consistent. And the program is live. I'm live besides on TikTok, on YouTube, and on several other venues across the internet. And besides taking YouTube and TikTok comments, I can actually take a phone call. If you want to call in, you can do that and be heard. 617-396-4958. 617-396-4958. One thing I want to talk, well, there's two issues I want to get into right off the bat. Firstly, I want to talk about the special recall election in California. And secondly, I'd like to get into the peaceful rally that is scheduled for Washington, D.C. this coming Saturday. Let's start with the California recall against Gavin Newsom, where he is facing a good and solid challenge from Larry Elder, radio talk show host, businessman. I don't know if Elder can pull it off. I hope and I pray that he does. I would urge Californians to get out and vote for Elder. But what I'll say is that there does seem to be certain voter irregularities that are showing up. And there is testimony from people who are experiencing this in California that is very much like what happened, quite frankly. And I want to be careful here because this is YouTube, in the 2020 election. Now, my purpose here is not to call into question the fact that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. He was sworn in, he was inaugurated, and Kamala Harris is the vice president. She was also inaugurated on January 20th. So that's not the issue here. I'm not questioning that fact. What I'm noting is that there were voter irregularities that were brought up at that time and that are still in a process of being investigated in several states through audits and other means. There is still a lot of turmoil and uncertainty with regard to the result of that election. I'm going to keep my opinion to myself, but I think that anyone watching knows what I think about that, okay? I am mentioning California because of certain methodologies are being employed there that were similar to what happened in 2020, at least according to most reports. One of those things is the fact that people are showing up to vote and they are exclusively Republican. And they are told when they get to the polling place that they've already voted. What do you mean I already voted? I'm just coming here. Sorry, your name is checked off. You already voted. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. And so the way that works is that they are denied the right to vote at the poll, at their polling place, and they are handed what's called a provisional ballot, which means that they can fill out the ballot, put it in an envelope. It does not go into the record right away. It goes into a pile where it is counted later by who knows who, okay? Maybe counted, maybe not. We don't know what happens to it. It begs, that's the first question. The second is, if they were checked off as having already voted, who voted for them? This happened to tens of thousands of people during the 2020 election, particularly in Pittsburgh and Phoenix, two of the major cities in the battleground states. That is a matter of fact. That is something that is confirmable. There is no question about that. there were several people, particularly in Phoenix, that besides filing affidavits testifying to this, they actually filed a lawsuit before a judge to say this is wrong. And in the case I know about in Phoenix, the judge said, well, that's too bad. You'll just have to vote next time. There's nothing I can do. Well, apparently this is happening now in the recall in California. I don't know how that happens, but they can't help it. You know, the cheating is something that's a disease. You know, you get a taste of it. You know, you can get away with it. You know that the media is going to run interference for you. They're not going to cover it. You know that all the beautiful people are going to stand up and applaud or take, you know, basically take care of you, ignore it, cover it up. And you know that big tech is going to censor it. That's what I'm worried about right now. I don't know if YouTube will allow this. So I'm trying to be careful. Well, apparently, according to testimony from people who are giving interviews on TikTok and elsewhere, they're being turned away at the polls, particularly apparently in San Bernardino County. Another thing that's happening that's similar to what happened on the on 2020 is that I don't want to say the Democrats, let's just say the election officials, okay? They are papering the House with absentee ballots. There are cases that showed up in the Arizona canvassing in Maricopa County, which indicate that something like 80 to 100,000 ballots, absentee ballots, were not connected to a registered voter. There were cases where you had one registered voter at an address, because canvassers go to addresses and they try to confirm whether or not someone voted. It's something that happens periodically in every election. This isn't unusual. It's normal. They're not asking how they voted. They're just asking whether they voted. There were cases that they found where a registered voter, that address had 10 ballots mailed to it. Apparently in California, 3 ballots were mailed to the address of the late Ashley Babbitt, who was murdered on January 6th in Washington, D.C., okay, and who's a California registered voter. There were absentee ballots that were shown up at post office boxes and parking lots, in abandoned buildings. In California during the 2020 election, and this has all been covered by the media, there were, I think, upwards of 1,000 votes that came in from the University of California, Santa Barbara, when in fact that campus had been empty because of the COVID-19 virus. There were no residents of that campus at all during the election. This is what is going on right now, according to many people on the street in California for the special election recall. The powers that be who control that corrupt state cannot and they will not let Newsom lose, because they know that if he does lose, it could open up a can of worms a little bit more. Biden admitted it himself. Biden is often a truth teller. Maybe it's because of his senility. I don't know what it is. Maybe he's just loosening up in terms of his ability to lie. But during the election, in the final days, he stated, and you can see this on YouTube, that the Democrats had developed the most efficient vote-stealing machine in history. Well, the other day in California, there to support Newsom, Biden said, we have to support Newsom, because if we don't, then Trump will be back. He said it in such a way that literally he felt that Trump might be back. I'm not saying that. That's not me talking. I'm just, you know, getting my information. I'm out here just like everyone else. I have no idea. I'm just simply recounting comments made by Biden. Anyway, let me open up the phone lines here. 617-396-4958. You're welcome to join the program. I'm just looking up that exact quote here. This was on the Gateway Pundit. Joe Biden in Southern California, you either keep Newsom as your governor or you'll get Donald Trump. Not a joke. So that's what's going on in California. You know, if we don't get to the bottom of the of this problem, we're never going to have another free election. And I didn't just start talking about this in 2020. I've been talking about this for a decade. I interviewed John Fund from the Wall Street Journal, who wrote an excellent book about voter fraud back, I think, in 2012, around then. And he was talking about that. So it's not a new issue for me. This isn't something I'm just jumping on. Say hi and connect with Newt. Thank you. I wish that nobody had ever got our hopes up about the election. Look, I mean, I don't expect the election to be overturned. And I never suggested that it would be. I would simply suggest that we need to get to the bottom of our electoral, of the way we conduct elections in this country to make sure that they are free, that they are above board. And I think that since the election, you have many states who are doing just that. They are, the state legislators are reasserting their authority to make election law in their states. And that includes having audits in places like Maricopa County. And apparently there are others that will happen soon. This is what state legislators are charged with doing. They represent the people. And they, the Constitution literally recognizes that power, Article 2 of the US Constitution, that the states make and regulate elections. And they are reasserting, and that means state legislators, not governors, not judges, not bureaucrats, state legislators who are elected to represent the people of those respective states. They make election laws. They had their powers usurped in 2020 under the guise of the pandemic. It was usurped by people who wanted to help a certain side and did so, in my opinion. They are reasserting that right, and it's been a successful movement. We need to keep it up. States need to regulate their election, and that includes ID and everything else. And anyway, getting back to California, anyway, it's a real you-know-what show over there right now. You've got racist white supremacists throwing eggs at the elder and calling him a white supremacist. He's Black. And just ugly, hateful, personal, vicious, you know, politics being conducted by the Democrats. God willing, it doesn't work. It would be a miracle if Elder wins. It would be a beautiful thing. It would be a great, great day for freedom. It would be absolutely invigorating to get some good news right now. Anyway, I want to talk about the second issue I want to bring up, and I'm not going to stay on long unless people want to call in, and you're welcome to do that. Let me, before I get into it, give out the number. 617-396-4958, 617-396-4958. I'm doing a bit of an abbreviated week this week in terms of broadcasting. It's Yom Kippur. There were other things going on. I've been undergoing a move into a new neighborhood. Very distracting, very busy. Getting back to college. I've got college courses. So I've got a lot on my plate. Plus I'm working, I have a job. So I've got a lot on my plate right now, so I'm not doing as much broadcasting this week as I might otherwise have done. But here I am. You're welcome to join me. I'm only going to stay on briefly here. 617-396-4958. 617-396-4958. The other issue I want to talk about is that this Saturday, there is scheduled a peaceful rally in Washington, D.C. to support the people who are being held prisoner and have been held since January 6th and the incursion into the U.S. Capitol building. These are hundreds of people held in a very difficult and tough prison in Washington, D.C., who have not had the benefit of, or have had limited benefit in terms of access to a lawyer. They have not faced formal charges. They have, in some cases, been held in solitary confinement. There are cases where many of them have been, this one guy anyway, according to his lawyer, was beaten to the point where he lost vision in one eye. I mean, this is atrocious in this country. And this is for, at least on the record, on the books, crimes such as trespassing and vandalism, which are normally crimes that are misdemeanors and that are met with a fine, not indefinite detention in prison. Now, a liberal friend of mine, whom I mentioned this to, this person happens to be a lawyer, she said to me, oh, well, I'm glad I'm becoming conscious of this because it happens all the time in the United States. People are held and detained for long periods of time without any due process, without facing charges. Well, fine. I'm against all of it. I didn't realize it. Maybe this is what it took to realize it. And yeah, maybe this is a more systemic problem. But what I do know, dealing with the immediate, is that these January 6 people did nothing more than trespass on the U.S. Capitol grounds. The case of the, particularly of the so-called QAnon shaman, he did nothing. I mean, he walked around, he, you know, wore face paint, yelled a little, sure, didn't break anything. Was actually advocating that people calm down. He's facing like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years in prison for this. And it's unjust. It's unfair. He never committed a crime in his life. He's harmless. Apparently has some mental and emotional problems. It's cruel. A couple of years ago, I interviewed Madea Benjamin, who is the head of a radical left-wing group. I forget what they call it, the pink something or other. They were invading the US Capitol during the Iraq war hearings. They were bursting into the Senate chamber and disrupting hearings when Donald Rumsfeld was testifying. Now, maybe I might agree with that politics. I don't know. But the point is they were doing the same thing and more that the QAnon shaman did. You know, they were disrupting, you know, you could say they were insurrectionists. They actually, their rhetoric indicates that. We're going to take over the government. We support communism. Nothing ever happened to them. I don't think Madea Benjamin was charged with anything at all. She was eventually escorted out of the building, but that's it. And then, of course, they were celebrated by the left. I just would say that this is unjust that this man would have to face long, hard prison time for basically trespassing. It is unfair. It's a disgrace. And it does get to what exactly did happen there. The narrative that the left has used, and again, I want to be careful here because I don't want to get shut down completely. I'm hoping to save the show, is that this was a, quote, insurrection, unquote. One of my textbooks by this guy, Packer, he's a totally Trump deranged. I forget the name of the book. I'll get into it later. I'm going to be writing about it. He was like, 60,000 people showed up to overthrow the government. Really? I mean, this kind of heated rhetoric, I mean, the way this was portrayed, the worst thing to happen since Pearl Harbor, the worst thing to happen since Genghis Khan. I mean, you know, it's the exact opposite is the truth. I mean, the vast majority of people didn't even go near the Capitol. They were there to support an effort by seven states to contest the Biden delegations in each of those states. That is entirely constitutional. That happens every 4 years. That has happened in recent years. In 2004, my own congressman here in Massachusetts, McGovern, James McGovern, along with US Senator Barbara Boxer, contested the election in Ohio, claiming that the state had actually gone to John Kerry and not George W. Bush. It is perfectly normal. It's been done off and on, not every election, but it's been done. This precedent is going all the way back to the election of 1800. I mean, this is part of our constitutional system. The way it works is that on January 6th, the US Congress, both houses, have a special session, which basically recognizes the delegates from each of the states in order to elect the president of the United States. It happens every 4 years. And as part of that process, a state has the opportunity to contest the seating of a delegation that had been recognized by the governor. And that if that happens, and the way that happens is you have one senator and one House member of the House jointly sign a letter requesting a hearing on that particular state, and that the particular state in question was sending up an alternative delegation that is claiming legitimacy. And in order to resolve the question, once this letter is received by the president of the proceedings, who also happens to be the vice president of the United States, the president then recognizes the contestation, and there is up to 2 hours to debate in public, in which case both sides are heard, both sides are questioned, both sides present their evidence. And at the end of the hearing, at the end of the 2 hours, the president of the assembly, who is also the vice president of the United States, then decides with plenary power which delegation to recognize. If the president decides to recognize the alternative delegation, then that becomes the delegation. The president also has the authority to not recognize either or any delegation, in which case there are no delegates to that state. And this was a process that was about to be undertaken with seven states. They were the six contested states: Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada, and a seventh state, which actually was a Biden state, that being New Mexico, also mounting a challenge. And the way it would have worked was that the president would have called out each state alphabetically, which would have meant that the first state to conduct their challenge would have been Arizona, and that state would have thus had time to do this. The process probably would have taken 2, maybe 3 days. It wouldn't have been time to do the whole thing. And at the end of the day, what would have happened would have been that the president of the proceedings would have recognized the alternative delegations, which probably could have meant that Donald Trump would have had more delegates at the end of the day than Joe Biden, in which case he would have become president of the United States, or the president would have simply not recognized any of the delegates, in which case neither candidate, Trump or Biden, would have had enough delegates to be president of the United States. So if that happens, then the proceedings go into the House chamber, and each state selects a single delegate. This has nothing to do with the House or the Senate. It is a special circumstance. This is Article 2 of the Constitution. This has happened in American history. It happened in 1800. This is how Thomas Jefferson became president. It happened in 1824. This is how John Quincy Adams became president. And it happened again in 1876 with Rutherford B. Hayes. So this is not unprecedented at all. What would have happened would have been that each state then, because there were neither candidate with enough delegation, with enough delegates, each state would have appointed a single delegate, and that the state Senate and legislature, not the governor, the legislature would have appointed the delegate. And then those 100 delegates, or those 50 delegates from 50 states, would have gone to Washington and they would have voted on who would be the next president of the United States. And given the fact that at least 32, if not 33 state houses are controlled by the Republicans, that probably would have meant that Donald Trump would have been elected. None of this happened. This was entirely constitutional. This was how our system worked. This is what our Democrat, like the left says, our democratic institutions. This is how they work in this country. The problem is that it was stopped by the incursion into the US Capitol. Now, the minute the guy with the painted face, the QAnon shaman, showed up in the Senate chamber, the proceedings were ended. There were no hearings. And this happened right in the middle of the Arizona presentation, which was amazing, by the way. It was televised. The whole country was watching. This was the last opportunity we had to get to the bottom of whether or not the election had been in any way inappropriate. It was the last chance. The media hadn't done it. The judiciary in the state and federal level had not done it. This was it. This was when we would finally hear evidence on both sides. And it didn't happen because of the interruption. So who gained with that interruption? There is evidence that the ringleaders of the incursion were either radical people associated with Antifa and other groups dressed in Trump garb, or they were FBI agents or informants or working somehow with the FBI, according to the Revolver website, which is a pretty good research site. And likewise, they were in disguise, they were dressed with Trump hats. And they were the main ringleaders instigating the break-in. They were the ones who were breaking the door down. And they were the ones who thus interrupted the hearing. Once the hearing was interrupted, the states never got to be heard. The Congress was shut down. There was no hearing at all. And then at midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, when the media was gone and everybody was asleep, they reconvened and they gaveled Biden through. There was no hearings in the seven states. So who overthrew what here? You know, they talk about a conspiracy to overthrow the government. I would suggest, and I don't want to say this in a way that's going to get me kicked off of YouTube. I would suggest that the Constitution, let's just say it was not followed in this case. And thus the proceedings were not conducted in the constitutional way. And the outcome was as such. I don't want to say more. I don't want to get kicked off YouTube because it's verboten to talk about this. And since then, you have members of the new administration and the FBI hunting down people who had just as much as not only attended, but actually just appeared on the lawn of the US Capitol, charging them with prison sentences, silencing them. There's a reporter, I'm not going to mention his name because he's with a website that was one of the first to be banned. I think people might know who I'm talking about. Very good reporter in Texas who didn't enter the US Capitol. He was on the grounds, basically telling people to calm down. He's been charged, he's been threatened by the FBI with long prison sentence unless he shuts up and cooperates with them. And this is the kind of stuff that happens in a police state. This is not the America that we all assume exists. And I'll simply note and sort of finish up by saying that freedom doesn't grow in trees. Freedom has to be fought for. Truth has to be, you know, truth is truth, but in order for truth to be known, it has to be identified and it has to be advocated for. Otherwise, falsehood takes over. Otherwise, we have a move away from truth, a move towards Satanism. And that's all I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to shed some truth on this situation. I'm not calling for any kind of a change in anything, government or anything else. I simply want a thorough and truthful examination of what happened so it never happens again. That's all. Nothing more and nothing less. Anyway, on that note, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I want to thank you all for watching. On TikTok, I've been having trouble recently with programs that have been censored and taken off. So I would urge my TikTok followers to subscribe to the YouTube channel, Charles Moskowitz Live, in case you find out that I've been removed, because I'm skating on very thin ice over at TikTok, frankly. And on YouTube, I'm also skating on thin ice. So if you're watching the program live on YouTube, go to my website, charlesmoskowitz.com, and you will see about 25 or 26 live stream and podcast archive venues that you can hear the show on. I'm on Apple, I'm on Spotify, iHeartRadio, almost 27, as I said, 27 different venues. So if I'm taken down off one, I'll be up on another, hopefully, unless they pull the plug on everything. And I wouldn't be surprised. The other thing I'd mention is that this is a self-sponsored program. I don't have any sponsors. And it is sponsored by my books, which are available at Amazon Books. Just go to Amazon Books, put my name in the server, Charles Moskowitz, like Moscow, with a witz. And you will see about 18 different nonfiction books come up. My latest book, my shortest and latest book, which is turning out to be one of my most popular, is called The Satanic Conspiracy. Here, I'm holding it up for the camera at TikTok. Let me hold it up for YouTube. It's available, The Satanic Conspiracy, at Amazon Books. Anyway, I want to thank you all for joining me today. And God bless you all. God bless America. Let's all stay safe.